Blog Talk Radio.
Red moon rising like a ball up in the sky. You won't even hold my hand. I wear my heart scarred across my arm. You don't understand.
Wanted to play a sample of that song, written and produced by my next guest on the show. Of course, this is D-Love, and you're listening to Real Talk One-on-One with you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our podcast. I'm D-Love, and as you know, I'm always excited to have you guys tune into the podcast. I've got a phenomenal show lined up for you. I know it's early, but that's okay. Just make sure you share if you care. Now, I don't know about you, but I do enjoy learning about other people's journeys and how, you know, they just manage to juggle and balance the challenges that all of us face in life. And, you know, my next guest, Three Colors, 12 Notes. Let me just say that. It is a memoir and guidebook written by Catherine Harrison, based out of Toronto, Canada. And we all know Catherine is no stranger to the show. Few accolades here. She's a mother, author, corporate leader, business owner, professional coach, songwriter, musician, fierce environmentalist, and what I consider to, and I'm sure she does too, a true humanitarian. That is, guys, with a desire to help those individuals like myself who need what I like to call a mental jump start. That's right, a mental jump start to keep it moving. Wow, guys, I'm talking about GP, girl power. I delved into this book, and so if you're listening to the show today, I would suggest that you just sit back, enjoy the conversation, share the link, because Three Colors and 12 Notes has garnered endorsements, y'all. I'm talking about from some of the most prominent and eminent professional leaders in the game. And after delving into this relatable book, I'm telling you, I love it. I found it to not only be, like, irresistibly funny, because she's pretty candid, guys, but what I consider to be grit and fundamental. So anyone, can adapt to this no-nonsense approach to dialogue. No doubt, I'm telling you, good stuff. No doubt, guys, you will be inspired, informed, and intrigued by the energy this grit-filled book delivers. So I want you to share if you care. And without further ado, it is with great honor and pleasure, my pleasure, for me to introduce my very, very, very special guest and dear friend, Miss Catherine Harris, Miss Catherine Harrison, to the show. Catherine, can you hear me?
Hi, Dee. How are you doing today?
Well, girlfriend, I'm just elated. You just made my day. You know that? You should know that.
Well, you always make my day. I get so excited to come on your show and just have an opportunity for us to chat. And I always think of our conversations and people listening as them being able to kind of peer in the window if we were sitting down having a coffee together.
You said that right, and you're going to be the motivation for me to get hooked up to Zoom. I'm working on it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm working on it. You know, I'm kind of behind the scenes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's not going away anytime soon, Dee.
We're going to do it. And let me tell you, Catherine, I want to thank you for being the best part of Real Talk 101 with you, the show, again, because you have truly, truly, truly been a blessing to me. And I'm really excited to have you come and enlighten us with your new book, and just so we can just help people and open up real dialogue on what is really happening in that mind, body, and soul of ours. And I'm going to tell you something. I love this book, and I want to be able to get it in as many people's library and hand as possible, you know, because when I started reading this book, I couldn't stop laughing. For what? Because you like me. Are you a Gemini? Are you a Gemini?
Yes, I am.
I am too. I am a Gemini
there
as well.
You have it.
So I can relate. I said, no wonder we get along so well, because I'm telling you, like minds think alike, so they say. And just delving into this book, I have to tell you, I couldn't stop laughing. Because you just kept ditching the real poop and keeping it real. So I know we're working with limited time here, and I just want to get right into the program and just kind of, Catherine, this is Dee. What inspired you to entitle the book Three Colors and 12 Notes? I think I know that answer after reading the book, but what an unusual title. You say in your book that there's only three colors and 12 notes. Explain that concept, because it's kind of, it's really unique.
So, you know, for many years, both in my personal life and professional life, and I guess mostly in my professional life, I've been talking about the notion that, you know, content is free. Like, there's not a lot of new, really original concepts, that everything boils down to the same fundamentals, right? Whether it be in leadership work or communication skills or, you know, how to be healthy. Like, we all know the basics, and it's really about connecting to the basics and then making choices to implement them. But when it comes to my creative pursuits and my artistic expression, in the chapter on originality, I wrote this assertion that I don't think that there's really any originality. I think that there is authentic expression of someone's experience, of someone's perspective, and that really everything, whether if it's a painting, you know, whether it's your five-year-old's finger painting or the Sistine Chapel, you know, it all boils down to three colors: red, yellow, and blue, the primary colors. And every piece of music ever written and ever played and ever listened to is made up of the same 12 notes, right? And
right.
So it's to connect to the fact that although the art that we love is often someone's fresh perspective on combinations of those things, that fundamentally the root elements are the same. And we all have access to those root elements, whether we're talking, you know, art, or whether we're talking life, or whether we're talking our employment or the way we connect and communicate with people. And so it just seemed to be also a great way of titling the book, because the book is really made up of a bunch of stories that you might think are disconnected when you look at them all and you go, wait a second, she's talking about her being a mom and then her being a corporate person and her being traveling and then her riding a motorcycle and then her being like, what the heck does this all, you know, how does this go together? Mm-hmm. But if you actually connect the root elements of curiosity and creativity, and as you say, that human-centeredness, that's mm-hmm. the common thread through every single one of those stories. So that's where the title comes from.
Wow. Interesting. And as a child, you've just based on what I've read so far in the book, you've studied music all of your life. So you played instruments and you played the piano or the keyboard? So it kind of just like ties into who you are already. It's kind of
as a child, I mean, I was surrounded by music because my dad played guitar and loved music. I had very young parents, and so I was surrounded by the music of the 60s and the 70s. And although I took piano lessons for a couple of years, I didn't really actually get into playing in a serious way until my early 20s, Dee. So,
wow.
You know, that's something that also encourages people to know, like, you know, it's never too late. I have friends in their 70s, and they say, I'd love to learn how to play the piano. And I say, what's stopping you? Just, you know, just learn. Go on YouTube. And, like, you know, we have to consider how we place limitations on ourselves and try to get away from those limitations and encourage our own curiosity.
Which is pretty much the theme of your book. And so, like, your life journey calls for many, many hats, Catherine. Your mother, professional coach, songwriter, musician, business owner, your painter. So you are an artist. It's just innate in you. And you're a media. You just love, just you, from what I've read about you, which is so interesting, is that you've always been inquisitive. I've always been inquisitive. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to get off the subject in terms of like astrology or horoscopes or different things like that, but I just know that being a Gemini, it's like I saw myself in you. It's like I can't tell you how many jobs I've had. I can't tell you how many hats I've worn. I can't tell you how bored I get sometimes. I can't tell you how many times I've asked the question why. So it's like which one truly inspires and motivates you the most? Let's just take that out because my mother is a mother, but in terms of just your creative.
I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mother is a fundamental role that, you know, to me, I didn't even know I wanted to be a mother. Once I was a mother, like, that's it for me. That's the biggest, really the most important role I can play. And so, you're right. Take that off the table. You know, the other stuff is I actually can't rate them. It's like, you know, I can't pick my favorite song. I can't pick my favorite movie. I can't pick my favorite food. I'm one of those people, like you probably are too, because it depends on the day. Like, I love the work that I do right now, and I love the music that I get to make, and I love creating stuff, art, you know, visual arts and artistic. So I think to me, the notion of what I love the most is when I have the freedom to explore something of interest to me, and when I have the freedom to also leverage my experiences and my competencies and skills to serve others to explore a little bit deeper. You know, like that's the stuff that just really activates and fulfills me. So it doesn't matter whether it's in the workspace or in the music or artistic space, that notion of connecting with people and creating and communicating, that's the stuff that lights me up.
Well, I tell you, after reading the introduction, from what I perceived, it really sunk deep, Catherine, into my imagination as I saw this as motivation to what you were conveying is like exploration, adaptation, growing in anticipation, all of which we know can lead to one saying yes. That's some of the one of the main points you focus on. You say yes to curiosity. Say yes when your gut may be telling you to say no. And you talk about taking risk and allowing. Now, I don't want to give too much away out of the book. I definitely encourage anyone and challenge anyone to really purchase, because this is phenomenal. And how you're challenging the reader to just take risk. And I know I'm a risk taker. But how do you leverage your curiosity when it could possibly, which I'm sure you've been there too, land you into a landmine? Like you said, curiosity kills the cat.
Yeah. Well,
you were curious, Caddy.
Yeah, that's for sure. I over time, what I've learned is to when you leverage curiosity in a thoughtful way and you begin to get really focused on what your values are in life, you can easily decide to, you know, do a risk assessment every time you have to make a decision. And it sounds like it's a laborious process, but it's really not. So even like when I say, you know, challenge yourself if you feel like saying no, well, sometimes you have to say no. You have to trust that gut. But the opportunity is to say, what do I value in life? How do I look at this opportunity and say it's either the right kind of risk for me, that even if I'm a little bit, you know, scared to do it, what's the upside? And what's the downside of me saying no? And then the flip side there is, you know, as I get really connected to the values and how I want to live my life and who I really want to be, it's easier for me to know that saying yes to that fits that criteria and saying no to that fits that criteria. But we have to go through a process of trial and error. We have to go through a process of maturing. We have to go through a process of taking time. And that's what my book is encouraging people is, take the time to get to know yourself better through reflecting and asking yourself some of these tough questions and then finding ways to support yourself moving forward towards.
Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, hold on. Might look like somehow the call dropped somehow. She got disconnected. She'll call back in. You guys, you are listening to Real Talk One-on-One with you. I am D Love, and we are actually having a conversation. There she is. There she is.
I'm
are
back.
You on? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm back.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So basically, you know, like the song you wrote entitled Why. I love that song. And so it just kind of is like asking why, in my opinion, and that's why I like it. Asking why is not a bad thing. And I, like you, Catherine, have always asked the question why to things. I just don't understand, which by asking you receive, right? That's what we've been taught. If you don't ask, you don't receive. But I know I'm a little nosy, especially about those things that pique my interest, you know, and oftentimes just don't make plain sense to me. Yet, sometimes we, as people, seem to think that knowing the answer to everything solves everything, but it doesn't. We know that. But I'd like to say, quote unquote, why? Asking why is a good question to ask. You see what I'm saying? No matter what.
Absolutely.
Because if you.
we get away from that, right? When we're children, we're innately curious, right? We try things. Mm-hmm. We ask why. We explore. Mm-hmm. And then as we mm-hmm. grow up, we get told, don't ask that question. Just do as you're told. Don't explore.
Right.
Just don't touch that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that, right? And so part of what I'm encouraging people to do is to reconnect to that mm-hmm. innate sense of curiosity. And don't just take the first answer as the right answer, or don't just take the first answer as the whole story. Like, dig a little bit deeper, explore a little bit more, you know, and don't ask why in a judgmental way, but ask why in a, help me understand more, give me more context, give me more information, help me see something through your perspective or through other perspectives. That's what I'm encouraging people to consider.
Well, I tell you, this is some good stuff right here that we're talking about. And if you're listening and tuning in, I encourage you to call in. My first three callers will get a copy, a hardback copy or ebook of Catherine's new book called Three Colors, 12 Notes. I want to encourage you guys to just, you know, we are going through a healing process, and that's why, you know, Catherine and I connect. You know, I'm in the Midwest, you know, she's in Toronto, but yet God, I mean, somehow, because I said yes to curiosity. And so, but I want to get back, because we want to just kind of hit on some keynotes out of Catherine's book. And Catherine, I have to say that your book is highly gritty and transparent. Could this be the catalyst that ushered you into that Agdessas? Is that, did I pronounce that right?
What's
Agdessas?
That?
Agdessas, the phase that you talk about in your book about the regrowth and the renewal in your Agdessas. I don't know either. Did I pronounce that right? You left.
I'm not sure.
You talk about Agdessas.
Like the lobster and the snake. Yes. Yes, sorry. Now I'm with you. I'm like, is she talking about Exodus? But you're talking about Agdessas, which is, you're right,
Agdessas,
the lobster and
okay.
the snake. Yeah, I tell the story of how lobsters and snakes, you know, they go through various phases of change and evolution, and they have to go through a period of extreme vulnerability while their new shell hardens in place or their new skin grows on, and they you're absolutely right. I think this is definitely another transformative experience that I'm having, and you know, to your point around it being gritty and very personal, I don't think it's scary per se, but it was definitely, I was apprehensive when I got to the point of, okay, we're going to print. Like, there's no turning back now. And but again, you know, I've got to practice what I preach, which is, hey, if I actually want to be the person who says, I believe in human beings, I believe in humans showing their whole selves, I believe in demonstrating our vulnerabilities and our frailties so that we can connect more fully with other human beings, you know, you got to lay it out there. And so, you're right. This is a transformative.
It's phenomenal. And I like it, because I like the fact that you talk about a renewal, what you're saying is that it's synonymous with the renewal process, like a snake shedding its skin to regrow new skin, reinventing new life.
Yeah.
And I know you and I are communicators, so communication comes easy for us. But why do you think allowing ourselves to become a bit more vulnerable each day as we grow helps us to be more of a beacon of light to others, so that we can help those who may not understand themselves, or even why they even feel inhibited to do certain things, to learn or try new things? And, you know, or, you know, just asking that question why in order to take a chance
yeah.
on challenging that curiosity, because I'm a why girl. I know. I just want to know why. And I don't know if it's because the part of me is just paranoid to the unseen. There are still things that I work on overcoming right now. And it's like, you know, sometimes I can be like, you know, I don't know. I put up this little barrier because of more so now with the pandemic and the things that we're going through, you know, as a country. So it's like in the chapter, one of your chapters, you talked about the series of yeses. You talked about verbal acupuncture. Expound on that a little bit, and without going into too much detail.
No, I'm happy to. So, you know,
I don't want to give the whole book away because I want people this is a phenomenal book. I love it. It is just wonderful. And hey, I want to pique people's interest.
The series of yeses really is just a story that illustrates how, you know, when you say yes to one thing that resonates, as I said earlier, that resonates with what you want out of life, often other opportunities then present themselves and you say yes to that, and then that takes you on another path, and you meet
mm-hmm.
somebody or do something or see something, and that takes you on another path. And then, you know, so that little story is about how when,
mm-hmm.
again, I encourage people in the book to reflect on when in your
mm-hmm.
life have you said yes
mm-hmm.
to something, and then
mm-hmm.
you met somebody, or you did something, or you got
mm-hmm.
that job, and then that led to something else, and that led to, just for you to notice how your
sure.
life has, in fact, unfolded in that way. And then the notion of verbal acupuncture, you know, it's something that I coined that phrase many years ago when I was
yeah.
doing corporate work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to people at the beginning of my talk, I'm not going to say anything you haven't heard before.
Right.
So you might say,
right.
well, I've heard that before. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
right, my job is like an acupuncturist, is to use my words to kind of stimulate what you already know and to reactivate and to energize what you already know so that you go, you know what, I know that, but I'm not doing it. So why am I not doing it? And how might I encourage myself or get myself some resources or find myself some support to do what I already know? Because, again, a lot of the knowledge we already have, but
mm-hmm.
but there are certain barriers in place that we, you know, we either we put there or society puts there. But I do encourage people to notice what they already know and to notice the resources that they already have within to
mm-hmm.
begin to move forward in a more positive way. And I also
mm-hmm.
want to say, you know, you mentioned, you know, what's going on in your country, and hey, you know, Canada's we're
right.
so close to the United
all over
States.
The world. Yes.
And I think
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to recognize that when we talk about asking why, when I talk about
mm-hmm.
really, you know, encouraging people to connect and to reflect and to empower yourself and to move forward, there are some very real barriers that must be
mm-hmm.
overcome, that must be dismantled in order for us to collectively do this, right? Like
mm-hmm.
systemic racism is real. Systemic,
mm-hmm.
you know, violence is real.
Mm-hmm.
The way certain sociologic and economic
mm-hmm.
negative forces and barriers are real. The pandemic
sure.
is real. So I can't just say to people, oh, read this book and everything's going to be great. There are some very real issues that we are all up against here, you know?
Right.
But I do feel that when people take a little bit of time, if they have that, and I recognize that that's kind of a privileged thing to say because not everybody has the luxury of taking the time to reflect. But even if you can take a little bit of time to reflect on some of the inherent strengths that you have or some of the inherent support that you have, or some of the ways that you can say no to things in your life that might not be serving you and say yes to some things in life that might serve you better, even those small little steps hopefully can bring more positive energy than less.
Wow. You know, it's funny that we kind of just flow to the subject, because when you just mentioned reflection, that was, I was going to go ahead and expound on that, Nick, just my own perception from just reading your beautiful book. And in terms of reflection, though, see, I look at reflection that everyone should be able to reflect if they're in that mindset to reflect. We have to kind of know who we are in effort of trying to reflect on the good, the bad, and the ugly. So when you talked about the beautiful tornadoes in the book, I thought that was awesome. I found it very interesting that this is that you actually wrote a song about this little mishap, and I thought that was really funny. But yeah, I did. I thought it was kind of cute, and it was just so cute. And I really like the reflections outlined in the book, and you took it right out of my mouth. More so because it challenges you to reflect back on life decisions, and it forces you to dig deep within. And I think that's what we're missing today, is this dialogue. Okay, so it is so important that we get this word out and we share this and we inspire people, because your reflection, like I said, it forces you to reflect on why you made the decisions you made, how it changed your life, and how you were able to overcome those obstacles or even those win-wins that changed the course of your life for good, bad, or indifferent, if you will. Do most of us have regrets? I'm sure we do. But how we overcome those regrets is definitely key. And so, but when you talk about being okay with uncertainty and how just speaking something, I feel, into existence sometimes. I think sometimes we can say things, and I don't know if this ever happened to you. you speak it and it happened. You know, just like your journey, like the journey you were talking about leading up to meeting Jeff Buckley. That was pretty cool. And then you all of a sudden was like, wait a minute, what did I just do? You know, and all those type of things. And so I just think that God impressed upon you. He blessed you with this vision to write this book, and I'm just excited to be a part of it. And just listening to your journey, you've journeyed through some humble experiences. I've just when you talk about the experiences you witnessed and how you've been exposed to different people's lifestyles, if you will, without going into a lot of detail, and just the things that you've seen over the course of your life and the traveling and all these experiences that's shaped you into the person that you are today. That, I mean, you've had some humble experiences, and that is so awesome that you can still remain humble, you know, because you know what it's like.
Yeah, and you know, to your point around regrets, I have some regrets, small r, you know, and I have, but I even now I can reflect on them as real learning opportunities. That, you know, sometimes they say, like, you're going to keep having the same situation over and over until you learn the lesson, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the hardest lessons that I have had to learn is when I was disconnected from myself, when I was disconnected from my sense of self-enablement, when I was disconnected from my sense of values, when I was disconnected from my own sense of self-worth, when I was disconnected from, you know, what really matters to me, when I was really living in a place of lack as opposed to abundance, you know, when I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we, And I think why the book is resonating with so many people, Dee, is because I think people can relate to all of those stories. Like, people can relate
Definitely.
To the challenges of a heartbreak relationship. They can relate to
Yes.
when you're still in love with somebody, but you're like, this is not a healthy relationship for me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have to,
Amen.
You know, I can't have both a healthy life and stay in this relationship, even as hard as that might be. I think people can relate
Right.
to challenging family dynamics, right? That
Yes.
just because you love your family, whether they're your parents, your siblings, your own kids, doesn't mean it's easy. And
No.
I think people can relate to the struggles of trying to, you know, find ourselves through our vocations or through our
mm-hmm.
hobbies or communities. And again, like right now, I think about the, not just the civil unrest, but the community unrest, like how
mm-hmm.
how partisan politics is pitting people against each other,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to
mm-hmm.
trying to find the humanity and the common ground.
Right.
It's all just finger pointing and name calling, and I find that
terrible.
So disheartening, you know.
It is
yeah,
very,
it's terrible.
Very, yes, it is. And you know, one thing I have to give credit to my family, I have to say pretty much on both sides, is that, you know, we had our challenges, but they really showed us love. And so in return, we were able to give love and to be fair. And I've always had issues with this type of behavior that characterizes our political system. I've realized a long time ago that life, I've learned, let me just rephrase that and say I've learned a long time ago that life is not fair, will never be fair. Unfortunately, people are, you know, I mean, it's love versus hate. We've always been in a battle of love versus hate. And like I say, I choose love. I choose love no matter what. And we have to allow people to believe what they want to believe but not hurt other people. People do have a right to their own opinion and their free way of thinking. That is our liberties. But we should all agree that we all deserve love and respect, and that is the humanitarian part of it. And that's why sometimes just talking about it and being able to, because some people, you know, based on how they were raised, they don't have the ability to communicate or express themselves, which brings me to my next point. I want to talk a little bit about the Dalai Lama you were referring to in the book, and I like how you said this. You said people were created to be loved and that things were created to be used, and that the reason the world is in chaos is because society has, well, this is my word, that has gotten twisted per se. It's pretty much what you were saying. And things are being, you said things are being loved and people are being used. There we have it. How
yeah.
profound.
Yeah,
100% in agreement with you.
Yeah,
you
well,
know?
And that's a direct quote from the current Dalai Lama, and
yeah.
you know, I put that quote in the book because I think it is such a profound statement, and I agree with exactly what you're saying. You know, when we focus less on love, and we don't even have to go down as far down the spectrum as full on hate, but when
mm-hmm.
we get disconnected from humanity. And we
mm-hmm.
focus more on money and things as opposed to people and
mm-hmm.
connection,
mm-hmm.
it actually, it doesn't serve us. We feel
mm-hmm.
more hollow. We feel more empty. That's not the stuff that actually brings us joy and fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
no.
I put that quote in the book because I just think it really, in one sentence, encapsulates one of the biggest challenges of our time right now, is that people are being used and things are being loved, you know, and it's
yeah.
like you say, it's twisted.
It's very twisted, and I've always known this, and that's why people, you know, they think I'm a little weird, they think I'm a little strange, but I'm okay with that, okay, because I bring positivity. I'm optimistically, delusionally optimistic. That's just me, because I was raised that way. I was like, you know, I learned long time ago to put up mental blocks, and hey, I lost friends behind, but I really don't care. And I think it's all about self-love. And like you said initially, when you were talking about self-preservation and how we can, if we love ourselves, first and foremost, I believe that in order for us to regain that humanitarian love for one another or begin to cultivate just some form of respect for one another, we have to be true to God. And I think a lot of times if we just come clean and say, hey, I know for me, I'll be the first to admit I have shortcomings. One of my shortcomings is dealing with unreasonable people who think everything is their way. And it's not that way. Everything is not always in black and white. There are, in my opinion, estimation, are always gray areas. But we have to love. How do we love someone? We respect their liberties. When we talk, and see, this is where I feel is twisted and contradictory. We say respect one's liberty, but yet we condemn how someone thinks. God is no respecter of person. He will use whomever he will. So if we're reading the word, whatever our divine connection, the word, and whatever our divine connection is, then we will, whether we agree with the Bible or the word or not, whether we agree or not, we have to be able to set ourselves aside and allow God to step in and be there for us and love people. We have to love each other, and that you're absolutely, this is what we know. This is why we have what we have in the chaos, because it's all about things. It's all about how much and I've never been that way, and I thank God that I will never be that way. That is not my heart. And so, but at the same time, there's a balance there. Not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of or used, but we're still to walk in humility, love, grace, and thankfulness. And that is something that you have experienced just based on what you've gone through and how you've come to where you are now, where you're just helping people and, you know, just doing your thing and being content and happy with the destiny you created for yourself. And I think that's what's important, you know. We've lost a lot. Yeah. And I think communication as your mantra states with purple voodoo, excuse me, I was drinking my water here, being connecting, communicating, creating, you know.
Yeah.
And just learning to just, and that's something we're not doing, I think. I think it's always about one person, and it's not really about just one person. Now, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, you know, what we've been talking about over the last few minutes is really, you know, being part of and cultivating and contributing to and benefiting from mm-hmm. community,
right?
That is, and that's the, in community and communicate have the same root words, right? And it is about community, is about being part of others, being in service to others, and also being
mm-hmm.
supported by others. That it is, in fact, a reciprocal, you know,
mm-hmm.
ecosystem. And when we get disconnected from that, that's
mm-hmm.
tough. I'll say, I'm in my 50s now, Dee, so it's easy for me to it's not easy, but, you know, I wrote
you're a brave woman. You tell your age. Well, you look good. Age is nothing but a number. But go ahead.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I certainly don't feel it. But, you know, I couldn't have written this book in my 20s. I didn't have the miles behind me in my 20s, right? I didn't have
mm-hmm.
the perspective. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the life experiences. I didn't have the failures and the successes and the lessons. So, you know, also I think it's important to encourage people to recognize that life itself is, it's such a cliche, but it is a journey. And to practice a certain sense of patience, because sometimes when you do accept a certain level of uncertainty, you can set yourself up to notice what happens when you, there's no way you could have predicted it, and there's no way you could have imagined it. That, that part of it is going through your life with open eyes and an open heart, and really observing and noticing and asking and exploring and discovering, you know, and you know, jumping in. And and I, the cool thing is actually, Dee, is, you know, I've got some feedback on the book from people in their 20s, and I've got feedback on the book from people in their 70s, you know, at the other end of the spectrum. And they all have found value, not just in some of the stories, but that the reflections are inviting them to say, hey, what's going on with you? Like, how, you know, why is it important for you to connect more with your own self so that right now, today, whatever you've got, wherever you are, you can make the most of it?
Absolutely. And you know what? I think that just the fact that this is your memoir and the fact that you're sharing and you being candid and transparent with your life experiences and journeys in effort of helping other people, it's not just that, you know, people, you know, like, we think that we know what we're talking about, and these are all this is gospel. No, this is just inspiration. This is, and this book is definitely a true inspiration because it characterizes your journey and how, and you're a very successful woman. And hey, I think that. Matter of fact, I know, I mean, just it is what it is. The proof is in the pudding that you've traveled, you've done a lot. You've traveled around the world. You talked about your leisure time with your life and how you just took life as an adventure. And, you know, that's phenomenal. I mean, I love inspiration. And so, and I want, tell me this, what was the best part for you when writing this book, and what memories stood out to you the most? Because you know how sometimes you just start writing and ever you get this flood of everything. But more importantly, in writing this book, what really, really just got you stomped at that time and said, dang, I really didn't, you know?
Well, I think, you know, I wrote it over a period of a couple of years, actually, and I would just write a little story and put it aside and write another story and put it aside and write another story and put it aside. And but, you know, every one of those stories really brought with it, you know, really profound memories and really profound connection to that time in my life, some of it very recent, some of it very distant, but the stuff that I really, to this day, it brings a smile to my face, obviously, you know, when my son was born, when he was little, and just the experiences of that, traveling through the world when I was younger, living out west, and learning to sail and hang glide, you know, all the adventures that I did, and the people that I met, and some of my early years in making music and making my first record, and all of that was, you know, I can say that it was a very joyful
fun
experience to reflect on all that, because I really feel like, wow, man, that was fun. Like, I did a lot of cool stuff, and I can remember some of them are like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous.
And it
I'm
was
so nervous.
So,
I'm so nervous.
And it
but
was so spontaneous. A lot of it was spontaneous because you ended up sitting next to, I think you said Linda Ronstadt or something like that, and just being able, you know, to meet Jeff Buckley and just put on, I mean, you've done so much. I mean, it's really inspiring to just know that, you know, one person can have that much energy and that many interests, you know. That's what you call creativity. So I'm just really excited to just have you as a friend, a guest. And I must say, you're quite the quintessential piece of work, Catherine. I have to say that. You are certainly a true gem, and I feel so honored and humbled to have just been blessed to cross paths with you.
Let me say this to everyone who's listening, though. You know, it wasn't just crossing paths. You decided to be curious, and you decided to reach out. As I recall, many years ago,
I don't know, three years ago, you just said,
"Hey, you look interesting on LinkedIn or whatever. Purple Voodoo, what the heck is that? I want to talk to you."
Right.
And then we did. And so, you know, like you said, you are an innately curious person, and that's why you do
yes.
this podcast, right? Because you love talking to people.
Yes.
You love understanding people. You love connecting people. You love learning. You love exploring. And so, you know, you did the same thing, which is just like, I'm just going to reach out to people and see what happens. And so, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
I said this to people. I said, oh, I'm doing an interview with my friend Dee. You know, oh, where's she? I said, she's in Kansas City. They're like, what?
No.
I said, yeah, but you know what? This is the beauty these days is when you decide to just, it doesn't take a lot of courage, just a little bit of courage to go, you know what? I find this person interesting. They might ignore me, fine. They might say no, too busy, fine. But they might say yes, and then you never know what's going to happen.
And it has been a long time because you know what? You probably don't remember the conversations you and I had back in 2014, but I can remember telling you that, I mean, I've always written poetry and I've written for magazines, so I've pretty much always been in the journalism field, but stepping out into creating this podcast and this blog was definitely something I wanted to do for fun, to break the monotony. Become single again, if you will, let me just say that. And so I knew it was a new journey for me, and I thought, let me do something fun. And then my daughter, she inspired me, and she's like, Mom, you know, you might as well, you like to talk. And you know what? So communicating and reaching out has always been one of my strong points because I love inspiration and I love inspirational people. And with that being said, I enjoy spreading the love. I believe that God created us in His image, and it does. It saddens me and disheartens me to see what we're going through today. But one thing I do know is that if we keep the lines of communication open, and I'm always open to good information because I do believe that we are what we think, right? We are what we feel. And sometimes we have to be reached in one way or another. And so being able to do what you do and the life coaching to help people come back to give them that jump start, if you will, that mental jump start, because especially with the pandemic, you know, I mean, we've been through a lot. We've been beaten down. It's just been crazy. But if we just sit back and be like, oh, you know, and live in the blah, to me, that's not productive. So
yeah.
I want to bless people.
Speaking of that, Dee, like, how have you been doing? How have you and your friends and your community been doing over the past, like, 9 or 10 months?
You know, actually, I'm in Kansas, but the Midwest, rather. And it's like, it's been kind of like similar, like everywhere else around the world that we're seeing. the statistics in the COVID infections or like everywhere else you hear. I mean, it's just worldwide spread right now. So that's pretty much what we're dealing with. But I don't see a lot of difference. When I look at our world, and when I say our world, I'm talking about everyone. I'm talking about all over the world. I see brokenness. I see hatred. Yeah. I see everything that you and I talk about, the homeless. I see a class of people, whether that be the rich, the middle class, or the poor. It doesn't matter. I see a class of people that are broken and struggling. I don't think the struggle ever stopped. That's a whole nother subject. But I do see where everyone is just struggling to stay afloat. But I also see that defiancy there. I also see some lethargic attitudes there. I see all these different personalities that are culminating the, you know what I mean? The whole culmination of everything. That's why it's so important that we separate, that we be able to sit back and reflect and gather our thoughts so that we can get away from the chaos. And because if we're taking in all that energy, all that vibe, what do you think is going to happen to us spiritually, just to our whole essence, our whole senses? So being able, I'm an avid reader, which is why I love reading. And so your book is just another awesome book on my shelf that I can refer back to bring me back to reality, because I feel that we have to feed our minds and our bodies and our souls one way or another. And if we are not interjecting positive feed, and I've learned, you know, I'm still learning some things. I'm learning not to be judgmental. I'm learning to allow God to be in control, if you will. And that has been my advice to everyone, to allow God. Let's stop trying to change things that we can't change, but let's do our part to be good people. If, you know, I'm one of them type of people, if I can't help someone, I'm not going to hurt them. That is not my intention. Yeah. And I think if more people took that in to heart, maybe we wouldn't have. But keep in mind, I was taught this years ago as a child. We were born in a broken world. We're going to die in a broken world. And, I mean, from the beginning of time. So that's why it's so important that we gain some sort of spiritual guidance, connect ourselves with people who has experienced life, who can share positive feedback, insight to feed us spiritually. I mean, I would much rather, and positively, I would much rather think the best of things than to think, you know what I mean, the worst of things. So it's all about our perspective, and that's why I love your book, and I will definitely continue to promote this book and this program to share with people, because what we're talking about right now, this isn't fluff. This is real stuff. This is deep stuff. This is things that I feel that are very edifying, but people have to open their hearts, you know. And I can understand the hardness. I can understand the hurtfulness. I can understand this because we're only human, right? We're only human.
I think what you're talking about too is that what brings this to mind is that the book and the contents of the book, and also the way it's organized in kind of little chunks, really invites, my hope is that it would invite people to have conversations with each other, you know, like that, and whether it's a book club per se, or whether it's just a group of people who all read it and they said, hey, let's talk about these reflection questions together. Like, how does, you know, what was your thought, or what did you think, or what was your experience, or what did you learn about yourself, so that it can also support the reconnection to your own community, maybe within your family, or maybe within your friend group, or maybe within your church, or maybe within your school, that when people read it, they go, I kind of want to talk about this stuff with others, you know. And then, like you were talking about, you know, you either have positive energy that gets more positive energy, or you have negative energy that gets more negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do you use this sort of self-reflection, and how do you use this as an opportunity to invite more conversation with people,
mm-hmm.
to spread it, you know, to spread the notion of a positive mindset, of an optimistic mindset, of a solution-focused mindset.
Wow. And so what advice would you give to someone who just, you know, who has been beaten down and says, you know what, you guys are just talking crap. You just want to, you know, but's been truly, truly beaten down by the pandemic. They've lost their jobs. Lost someone, a loved one. And just trying to reinvent themselves and just need some words of encouragement and perhaps some life coaching. Or just having a hard time wrapping their mindset around involving themselves into a whole different genre of, you know, company or friends or whatever it takes to just kind of change it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things that I would like to say. First off, you know, when people are dealing, as I mentioned earlier, with real issues, with real
mm-hmm.
struggles, with real human challenges, when some basic human needs aren't being met and some real life challenges are happening, you know, having this open mindset and reflecting is like, come on, that's not going to happen. Like, it might not, you know, there's some really tough times that are going on right
sure.
now.
Right.
So the number one thing that I would, the number one piece of advice is to say to everybody, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the only person going through this struggle. As hard as it is, if you have lost someone, if you have become unemployed, if you have been, you are not alone. And the most important thing that you can do is to reach out and connect with other people, whether it be through your own family. Maybe you don't have that kind of support in your family. The beauty of online is you can reach out and find people who are struggling with the same things that you are struggling with, to find some sort of support and just to know you are not alone. And that in and of itself can override a lot of hardship. When you're going through hardship and you know that you're not alone, that's at least an anchor that you have, right? And the other
right.
thing is, wherever possible, to recognize when you need support, when you need, like, professional support, or when you
exactly.
need other help, like, ask for
mm-hmm.
help.
Right.
Again, we as humans kind of assume that we have to go through everything alone. And even, I think, you know, the way the world works right now, we feel shame if we have to ask for help. We have to ask for a handout. We have to ask for a leg up. We have to ask for support because we're struggling, whether it's mental health or physical health or unemployment or, you know, but ask for help. People are there. People want to help. And so that would be my number one thing. And then, you know, for those of us who are blessed enough to have the basic human needs fulfilled, right? I got a roof over my head. I've got food on the table. You know, I can take care of myself. I live in a safe neighborhood. And yet, you know, hey, the pandemic is hard. I mean, it's really thrown our realities into a tailspin in many cases. But, you know, even just to begin,
And even the notion of reinvention, it's funny. I've been doing a lot of interviews lately, Dee, and you know,
I know. That's okay.
New Year's,
I know.
New Year's is coming up, and we talk about reinvention. But I think it's important to recognize that reinvention doesn't mean you have to throw out yourself and start over,
yeah.
like start from scratch, as though something
right.
is wrong with you and something is broken. I think just
right.
to consider reconnecting. What part mm-hmm. of myself have I lost touch with? That's really good. You know, what part of myself can I reconnect to? Can I re-energize? Can I reactivate? Can
mm-hmm.
I, you know, can I bring to the surface and maybe reprioritize that would serve me? You know, there's a lot, everybody's got a lot of good stuff there. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
we just get disconnected from our own innate good stuff. And to me,
mm-hmm.
that's where the personal reinvention can really happen in a simple way. What's the one thing that you know how to do or one part of yourself, a skill, a talent, a hobby, a passion, some service that you've been disconnected from that you want to just start reconnecting to? And how might that bring a little bit of joy or positive energy to you? And we also know the best way to actually get positive energy for you is to do something good for somebody else.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
What's the one, there's always somebody worse off than you, and there's always somebody better off than you. So what's the one thing that you can do to serve somebody else, right? And I guarantee
Absolutely.
That you will feel better about yourself when you reach out and help somebody, connect with somebody, serve somebody in that way.
Well, you know what? I am 100% in agreement with you. And you know what? It definitely shows all over you. God is definitely in your heart. You are true, Jim. And you know what? Just coming on the show today and then enlightening us, girl, with such profound insight. And you know what? I don't take this stuff lightly. I think that the more we know, the more that we grow. And that we get what we're doing right now can help someone or just help create or just maybe open up dialogue, as you said earlier, and help people just regain an open mindset to life. You know, I like when you speak in that this book is awesome. You know, I do see, I do have callers that just do not want to hook on with me, and that's okay, but feel free to reach out to me or Catherine, and we will be more than happy to get you a book. Catherine and I are still working on this, and I want to get 3 books into someone's hands today because, you know, let me gather my thoughts here, girl, because I just want to say so much. But, and I know time is running out, but like you speak in the chapter, Reentry Points and Finding Adventure, all of these learning experiences begin with curiosity. And you know what? You talk about this reentry point and finding adventure, but how do we do this? How do you just... You know, some people look at life, they don't even see it as an adventure. They see it as a chore. And I think that's that reconditioning, because I used to see life as if like it was a chore. Oh, my God, I got to do this. Oh, my God, I got to do that. You know, stuff happens. But you
yeah.
mentioned something about taking some of those choices that you made, like I did with the podcast. And, you know, I experienced a negative situation, and I thought, you know what, I've got to take this and turn it into something positive because I don't like the negative energy that I'm feeling due to this situation. And I'm one of
yeah.
those type of people, I can shake it off real fast because I just can't live in chaos within myself. That is not my nature. It's not in my DNA to do that. So it's kind of
yeah.
like a foreign, you know, eating something foreign and your stomach doesn't agree. You know what I mean? It's like it's got to go.
Yeah,
for sure. And so that's why I want to be able to help people with this because you've got great quotes. One of my favorite ones, you know, I love Zig Ziglar. the quote in the book, it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that determines your aptitude. So that is a true statement. I mean, these are the things that we need to really affirm ourselves with, these type of things, because I'm a book reader. I love music. I love books. You know, we all get our feed from different sources, and that's okay. But is it edifying your soul? Is it lifting you up? Is it encouraging you and challenging you to do better? And it takes a lot for someone to come out and put their just air their laundry, if you will. You know what I mean? And let people in on their personal life. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Well,
so
Dia, I'd like to just comment on your when you were reflecting on the point of reentry points and finding adventure. And I think again, some of your listeners might be like, well, easy for you to say. I mean, you've got the means to, you know, do all these adventures. Even again, I would encourage people, if you're looking for adventure in your life, if you're looking for newness in your life, even if something as simple as, I'm going to walk around a different block tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to a different park near my house. I'm going to take a different route home from work. I'm going to, you know, go grocery shopping at a different grocery store. Like, just doing something different and going, what can I notice different? I see different people. I smell different smells. I might, you know what, I'm going to go to a restaurant I've never gone to in my neighborhood. Or I'm going to, like, even these little things can be like little micro adventures, micro experiences of newness that help to trigger that sense of newness and re-energizing and reinvention. So I just want to encourage people to notice the opportunities. They don't have to be big ticket adventures to begin to integrate some of that stuff in your life.
Amen. I 100% agree with you, because if we don't keep our brain muscles working and we're always in flux of learning new things, learning will never end. So I'm one of those humble individuals. I enjoy learning. I don't proclaim to know everything, but I can truly attest to my experience. And you said something about, it was a quote that was in a book about speak your truth or know your truth or something like that. That's what we do. We speak our truth, because that is the truth that we have journeyed. And with that, we want to share this, and just, I learn from other people's experiences, because sometimes I look at my experience and I'm like, whoa, you know. But then when I look at someone such as yourself, who's experienced as much as you have and have willingly exposed yourself into areas that you wouldn't have ever imagined that you, and you learned from them. And this is just a beautiful book. And again, guys, I want to get this book into your hand. You're listening to Real Talk One-on-One with you. I am D Love. And Catherine, my friend, again, I just want to thank you for your presence on the show today and enlightening us with such profound insight that can just help create an open mindset to life. And you know what? I promise you guys that Catherine delivered on this one. She delivered on this one. I'm telling you, there's nothing more refreshing than reading something that actually feels so tangible to the soul. This book will touch you. I am so touched by this book that it delivers so much candidness, laughter, and like I said, grit, baby, because you know what? It's relatable. It's relatable. And even though maybe you have had a good, middle-class upbringing to where, you know, you had a good life growing up, and we know that not a lot of people have experienced. I mean, I've met people many times over who's spilled, you know, just kind of share with me their life stories and the things that they were subjected to growing up. some who were able to come overcome, some who were not, and still deal with the repercussions of what they went through in life. But that's why this book is so touching, because it speaks to that person and lets you know that you can do this, but you have to want to. You have to just step out on that curiosity. Just take the first step, like you mentioned about a baby having to take the first steps of walking and falling in the pain of experiencing, you know, trying to walk. It is, but once you get out there and you step into it, the unknown, you're like, oh, my God. You know, it's like I never would have imagined meeting a wonderful friend such as you, Catherine, had I not stepped out and said, you know what, I'm going to do something different, because I'm a Gemini, see, too. We evolve. We're always evolving.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's always an evolving process. So it's like, wow. This is awesome for me. So I want to thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you, Dee. You know, it's always such a pleasure to reconnect with you, and we seem to have almost an annual opportunity for us to get on and chat together and to do one of these podcasts. But, you know, I consider you a friend, and I always will, you know, send you lots of love and good mojo across the wires.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate your support of reading the book and really digging it and you know, sharing
beautiful.
It with
it's
with
beautiful.
The folks in your...
It's beautiful. God bless you to write this book. He's instilled in you a lot of great qualities. And, hey, girl, that is something that I know, which is why you're so humble and grateful to share this. So I'm sure that those who do get the book and just even hear this podcast and this interview, just to hear us dissect the book and just kind of unpack some of the key elements that make up this book and make it the wonderful book that it is, I think that you're going to begin to see even more just people reaching out to you and saying, hey, and you're going to see a lot of love through this book, as you mentioned already. I mean, look at the affirmations you've gotten, I mean, and the endorsements that you've gotten. I mean, you are a big deal, girl. So I feel humble myself. I've not even walked in your shoes like that, but because – you've inspired me. God has allowed me and allowed us to cross paths and journey. And so for that, I am truly thankful. And yes, we've got to talk about you getting me some books through the mail or however you want to do it, or I can go on Amazon. But I do want to be able to get this book into people's hands and to just spread the love, spread the word, because you really hit home. And for that, I say, girl, I know you're coming out with another one and another one and another one.
I
know we can be looking.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
You've done wonderful. And
like to say that, you know, we'll definitely figure out a way. I think probably the best way is going to be through Amazon, and maybe I can just get you some gift cards and you can send them to people, then they can, you know, then they don't have to worry about having it shipped to their house.
Well,
or
you
whatever,
know,
but,
I want to, you do not have to send me another gift card. You don't have to do that. I just want to be able to purchase the books for our listeners, for those that reach out to me via Messenger and the listeners that are just taking it all in. I you know what, I get it, it's still early, and you know what, just download the link, share if you care, and bless someone with this wonderful book, because I promise you, you will be blessed. You will be,
I do think what I've heard is that it's a lot of people are buying it as a Christmas gift, because it is an opportunity for people to reconnect to their own selves and to start conversations. So if you're struggling these days to go, what the heck am I going to get for somebody this year? It might even help, you know, support the exploration of like, how have I gotten through the whole pandemic? How am I going to strengthen myself or reconnect to community for 2021? And, you know, and also I really encourage people just to stay connected with the community, KatherineHarrison.com, because we're going to be updating stuff on the book and maybe even starting some online, you know, dialogue.
Book club.
So, you know, if they know you, they can reach out to any of the links that you've provided in terms of, yeah, how to stay connected with us.
Absolutely. And with that being said, guys, make sure to connect. Make sure to reach out to me if you need to contact Katherine. She'd be more than happy to hear from you. I would like to get this book into your hands. Just trust me on this one. I think you will truly be blessed. And like she said, you know what? Just get in contact with me. I can get you a book out. You can give it away as a Christmas present. And just help someone to reconnect, because I'm truly blessed. And so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. It has been a pleasure. We've been talking with Katherine Harrison. She is based out of Toronto, Canada, and she has been a true blessing to the show. So, Katherine, do you have anything else you would like to share before we end the show?
I would just like to obviously say thank you, Dee, for the invitation. And obviously, you know, like, I love our chats that we get to have on your podcast. And to just wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, mm-hmm. Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever you celebrate. And, you know, stay connected to love, as you say, and however you can. And also just to know that if you're feeling alone and you're feeling, you know, it's been a really challenging time for everybody, to just know that you're not alone. There are other people that are dealing with the same challenges and struggles and issues. Find just one other person who you can connect to. Find a community. Just know that you're worth the investment. And, you know, take care of yourself.
Well, what are you planning for the holiday this year? Do you cook?
Well, we're
going to
have we're going to have a very small event, obviously, because of the pandemic. My mom and my son are going to be here. And, you know, I'm going to decorate like I've never decorated before. I figure, why not? I'm at home all the time. So I'm putting up every decoration that I've got, every light that I've got. I'm going to make it as festive as I can for the next, 20 days until Christmas. So,
yes.
Yeah, and you know what? Just count my blessings. You know, to really, and again, I recognize that I'm a pretty privileged person,
but you're humble.
To recognize how
you're a humble person. Yeah. In spite of all that, your parents actually did a fantastic job with instilling good. Now, I'm not saying you were perfect. I'm saying that you have a good heart, and that, I mean, you have a humble heart, and that means a lot, you know. And that's why I think that sometimes we just can't judge a book by its cover all the time. Let me just say that, because I've met great people who has had a wonderful life, who were brought up with nothing but good things, but they're not rude, they're not hateful. And I've met people who's not had anything, and some of them has been mean, some of them been hateful. I mean, I've just met all kinds of people. So just because you were privileged, and just because you were blessed to be part of a good family, or a good solid family, doesn't mean that you're snooty or hateful and different things like that. So people like yourself, I can appreciate. I can appreciate you, because you're doing what you do. You're being Katherine Harrison, and there's no apologies there. And you have a lot to offer, and you have offered that. And so publishing this book and writing this book and sharing your experiences and being transparent to those of us who are in the game who enjoy good reads, who enjoy good, productive content is truly a blessing. And that's what my show is all about, is inspiration and bringing good vibes to people and to let them know that you can, like you said so well, you can be anything you want to be, but you have to step out of your comfort zone, in so many words. You have to say yes to that to that curiosity that's just, you know, eating you up inside. Is like, okay, what would it be like? You would never know. And so you and I are both testimonies of that. And so, my friend, I want to thank you so much for being part of our show. You know you are welcome anytime. I will continue to promote our series here because I think it's just so important. And I'm also going to keep sending me those Zoom invitations because I want to be a part of it. I promise you, I'm one of those people. I'm a really frugal spender, you know, so I'm looking to see what I didn't see much on Black Friday, so I'm gonna see what I can find in terms of getting me a Zoom camera because I don't have one. That way we can connect other than the podcast.
Let's do that. We'll do that for sure. And again, thank you, Dee, and I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, guys, you've been listening to Real Talk One-on-One with you. My guest was with Catherine Harrison, and we were talking about her new book called Three Colors and 12 Notes. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. It's been a blessing. And thank you so much, Catherine. You and I will be in touch. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Bye now. Thanks, Dee.
Bye-bye.